biggest changes, we're going to see a lot of new people with health insurance come in and say, I'm here for healthcare. What do you got?
Almost exactly a year ago, we produced a podcast about the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare.
It's probably one of the most exciting things I've seen come along in decades. And I've been in practice for over 30 years.
At the time, the conversation revolved almost exclusively around insurance.
Many of them have never had health insurance coverage. Actually,
there were the healthcare exchanges.
They apply for their coverage through Washington Health Plan Finder, and they don't.
Medicaid expansion, subsidies, things like that.
But I also know that the administrative side of this is very complex, and this is what's driving everyone nuts.
Now we're a year in, and other facets of this massive piece of legislation are beginning to take shape. Let's find out what they are and what they mean to you.
This is the UW Medicine Pulse with Marty Reamer. Real-world stories of the discoveries being made at UW Medicine and the impact they're having on people here in the Pacific Northwest and around the world.
Back when we did that original Obamacare podcast, every once in a while, the conversation would switch from affordable care, as in the Affordable Care Act, to accountable care.
The other word that gets mentioned a lot when talking about health care reform is accountability.
And whenever we tried to explore the difference or the meaning of accountable care...
Well, I'll try not to get too techie on this.
Things would get really technical really fast.
You know, the world that we are leaving or have been in has been fee-for-service and has been described as sort of a volume-based economy, that the more you did, the more you got paid.
And that's a system we all understood.
That financial model has been in existence in American healthcare forever. Changing that is what accountable care is about.
That's David D.C. Dugdale. He is Medical Director for Care Management and Population Health at UW Medicine. If Obamacare in 2014 was about access and insurance, in 2015, it's more about accountability and getting away from that fee-for-service model.
Doctors who get paid for doing more still want to do a good job. You know, it's not that they somehow don't think about that. They think about it all the time. But the business arrangement, the financial arrangement, is one that if you do more, you get paid more. And that does create an environment in which people tend to do more.
Don't you want your doctor to do more? I mean, doesn't doing more also accomplish more?
The answer is not always. If you can accomplish the same quality, but by doing fewer things, being more discerning about what you choose to do, that's a winner. Everybody wins there. You might ask, well, why doesn't it work that way already? And the answer is, I think, that the incentives of the fee-for-service system are strong.
But then you have to ask, how do you do that? How do you pay doctors or clinics for better outcomes? Structuring that just right would seem difficult.
Yes, it is. To think of that as an easy thing to accomplish is simply way underestimating the magnitude of the problem. I mean, there's several facets to it. And the first is creating a system that gives patients other choices.
Just in case. Make sure your webcam is set up.
What would be an example of that? Well, so if you're a person and it's 8 o'clock on a Friday night and you're sick.
Not sure if my son has pink eye or not.
And your doctor's office is closed and it's not really clear what you're supposed to do about trying to get yourself taken care of.
So I'm waiting for the provider to join me.
You know that you can go to a hospital emergency room. The law says that you can do that. They have to see you and provide some care.
Hello?
But depending on the nature of the condition, that may not be the most efficient way to get what you need. So under accountable care, there's motivations to provide alternatives.
Okay. One of those alternatives is an interesting new service called the UW Medicine Virtual Clinic. It's available to anyone in Washington State. It allows you to interact with a UW Medicine doctor live via your phone or a webcam. And although the clinic is virtual, because you can be calling from anywhere, from...
Oh, there you go.
Your living room, for instance.
Hello.
The doctor-patient interaction is very real.
You hear me okay?
Yes, now I can hear you loud and clear.
Let me introduce you to Dr. John Scott.
So I'm the medical director for telehealth services.
And have him describe that virtual care option
so
in more detail.
Calling in today about my son. I think he might have pink eye.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
So this is a clinic that is designed to take care of urgent care issues, so common conditions that need prompt attention but may not rise to the level of an emergency condition. So these are conditions like a sinus infection, a rash, a urinary tract infection.
So has he had pink eye before?
He never has. So my daughter has allergies. I thought it could potentially be allergies with everything in bloom right now. But I just wanted to talk to a professional who knew more than I did.
Things like that that are an inconvenience and often will keep people from work or going to school. So, people want to have convenient care. And this is providing 24/7 access to a clinician who will see you through video, and people never have to leave their home. And usually within 30 minutes of them clicking on the Google search, they've got their condition and they're on their way to feeling better.
First off, my name's Ben Green. I'm one of the doctors here with UW Medicine Virtual Clinic. And we'd be happy to help out and take a look.
Okay.
Is he there with you, or do you have any pictures you can share?
You definitely involve the patient in their own exam.
Okay, let me go get him. One second.
For example, if you had a sinus infection, they might instruct you to, push on your maxillary sinus and, ask, does that hurt? They will have you get a flashlight and shine the light in your own mouth.
Hey, Benjamin, this is also Benjamin. You guys have the same name.
Hey, Benjamin, I'm Dr. Benjamin. How are you?
Good.
Did I put the camera right by his eye? Does that help?
That would be great.
Okay, can you look right up into that camera, buddy? Right.
All right.
How do the outcomes break out? I mean, I imagine a percentage of the time you're sent to a pharmacy. What are the other possible outcomes?
So 70% of the time, the visit is managed definitively through a virtual clinic. Of the remaining 30%, it's pretty much equally distributed between primary care follow-up, urgent care, and ED. But if you think about it, a lot of these people were either going to tough it out or they were going to go to the urgent care, which was, our ED. Those are much more expensive, much more inconvenient option for them. So we think it's going to save them a lot of time and money in a lot of cases.
Yeah. So viral conjunctivitis or pink eye.
How does this get paid for? So it's not covered by insurance right now?
Not right now. It's a $40 fee, and it's just basically putting your credit card.
But in this case, I think some warm compresses with some warm water, some saline drops as well.
Okay.
What do you think the future of this looks like? I mean, as technology evolves.
Well, I think you're going to see this increasingly be an option for all kind of outpatient visits. We have people coming from all over the Pacific Northwest for some of the very high-level, complicated treatments. But once they go back to their communities, they still need their questions answered. And rather than flying back or driving back or taking a ferry to get here, hopefully they can do some of these visits through telemedicine.
We can call it in for you and it'd be ready for you within the hour.
Oh, wow. That is so handy. That's great. Okay. Well, let's hope it doesn't go down that path, but it's so nice to know that I have a quick access to a doctor.
Well, no problem. We're happy to help.
This virtual care service addresses one piece of the accountable care puzzle to try to make healthcare more cost-effective for the patient, the provider, the whole healthcare system. Still, that's only part of the push. Again, the main objective of Obamacare in 2015 is to reward outcomes, not just tests and procedures. And one way that's been devised to crack that nut under Obamacare is to set up these things called accountable care networks.
So accountable care really refers to a collaboration among healthcare professionals and payer groups in the community.
That's Janice Spizo. She is Chief Health System Officer for UW Medicine.
Whereby there are some financial incentives that are established so that you can effectively manage the health of a population in a very affordable way. The goals in order to really succeed in this are not only to provide prompt access and service, but also to improve the quality and safety of care and the outcomes for the patients.
UW Medicine, this is Joanna. I see you're part of the Boeing family. How can I help you today?
Hi, so I'm...
One of the first of these accountable care networks was launched this year to provide healthcare services to Boeing employees.
In 1915, Bill Boeing flew in an airplane for the first time, and a dream was born.
With healthcare costs rising throughout the country, companies are very interested in how they continue to keep their employees healthy, but also reduce the cost. Direct-to-employer contracts are felt to be one way to do that, and to agree upon a set of standards and service elements and begin sharing risk with the healthcare system on providing healthcare for the population.
A little bit about what I can expect?
Yeah. So for our Boeing patients, one of the benefits of the Accountable Care Network is that you have more coordinated care.
Once you are a patient in an Accountable Care Network, that network really wraps their arms around you and helps you take care of your health. And the value that we bring as part of the UW Medicine Accountable Care Network is the depth and breadth of our geographic reach, and also the fact that we provide everything from preventative care to the most complex tertiary and quaternary care. So we are your health partner for life. And the continuity of care and the ability to keep your care in one site really provides a lot of efficiencies, access to your records electronically, the ability to communicate electronically and conveniently with your team of healthcare professionals. There's a lot of different things that we can offer through that continuity of care.
If you're a Boeing employee and you signed up for the UW Medicine Accountable Care Network during the end of last year, during the usual insurance enrollment period, UW Medicine and its partners in the network have you covered if you get sick. But what's truly novel about these Accountable Care Networks is that they go beyond treating illness to trying to prevent illness. You see, in the old system, pre-Obamacare, there was no method in place to reward wellness because it was fee-for-service. Providers got paid for treatments. In Accountable Care, again, it's all about better outcomes.
We have a list of people that chose us. Some of them we've never seen before. So we're doing outreach to them in a way that we've never had this sort of information. In the past, when somebody signs up for a health insurance program, that information isn't transmitted to the medical group. It just remains in limbo until they actually use the care. Under this model, there's people who chose us, and we need to get to know them so that we can do a good job for them. Having the ability to do that is brand new. We've never had that kind of ability to reach out to people who we haven't seen before.
So what does all this mean to you? Healthcare reform is happening. It began last year when Obamacare rolled out its insurance mandates and healthcare exchanges. This year, the focus is more on accountability and efficiencies. In other words, how do we spend less money to get better results? Healthier people, in other words. Part of that is providing more options.
Why do this? Why did UW Medicine take this on?
Well, I think it's the future. So Don Berwick, who used to be the head of Medicare, predicted that in 5 years, 70% of all outpatient visits are going to be done virtually. Young people, they want to interact that way with their doctors. You know, they like to interact through their smartphone or a tablet.
Which is much less expensive and quite a bit more convenient than a visit to the emergency room. And then there are these new accountable care networks being established, like the one offered to Boeing employees, where success is measured not in the number of surgeries or tests ordered, but by the health of the group overall.
It's the sort of healthcare world that many of us have been wanting for a long time, where patients and their medical providers would be more closely aligned, and therefore the medical providers could do what they're trained to do, which is to deliver the best results for patients.
If we go back two decades ago to the managed care, the public, I think, had a negative reaction to that because it felt like it was restricting care. The great thing with accountable care is that access and service are a key piece of that. And the public's perception of access to care and service is very valuable. Those factors are measured, patients give us feedback, and we're held accountable to continuing to deliver on service.
I want to thank Janice Spizo, DC Dugdale, John Scott, and Ben Green for joining us for this Obamacare update. To find out more about the virtual clinic or about accountable care in general, visit our website, uwmedicine.org/pulse. And please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes so you can get every episode of UW Medicine Pulse as soon as they are released. UW Medicine Pulse is produced by Tina Knoll, associate producer Aaron Gervais. I'm Marty Reamer. Thanks for listening.